the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in.
Happy Tuesday. It's Faye Davis here, and I'm talking with Cortland Robinson today. He is the Managing Director of Business Investment at the Virginia Economic Development Partnership, or VEDP for short, and he is also one of North America's top 50 economic developers this year. Cortland gets real about the lack of maturity and purpose during his early college years and how really finding his passion in economic development has transformed his life. He time and again comes back to the importance of mentors, and he takes it a step further, talking about how actively choosing folks you want to learn from in your life is the best gift you can give yourself. We really had a dynamic and super thought-provoking conversation, so I'm going to stop standing between you and the meat and potatoes for the day. Here we go over to Cortland. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis. I'm here with Cortland, and Cortland is one of North America's top 50 economic developers. Super excited to be talking to him. And Cortland, we're just going to jump right in. So I would love to know, when you think back about going to high school, kind of what was your plan for the future and how did you end up in economic development? I know you've got a good story here.
I'm not sure planning was really in my vocabulary in 2003 when I graduated. And I would have been probably skeptical of many high schoolers who would have said they truly had plans for the future. But I really enjoyed work at that time. Had a job since I was 14. And because I liked the independence that job provided as a teenager, you know, I wasn't really thinking much about where it was taking me. I just loved working. In high school, I was a struggling C average student in a graduating class of around 900 people. It's a fairly large school. And at that time, I really didn't value the education I was getting. I couldn't see how it pertained to my interests. Nothing really seemed to kind of keep my attention. Honestly, I think I was just too immature to see how that would eventually cause me to play a lot of catch up in my life. But in retrospect, I really wouldn't change anything about that progression because it led me to some pretty cool things. So it took years of work and travel experience and general life experience until I truly stumbled upon something that I was passionate about. I graduated from community college with pretty meager results as well, actually, and you know, really with no more direction or focus than I had set out with. So I took some time off to work and travel, and then I ended up at Virginia Commonwealth University where I was studying communication. And I just happened to be looking for an elective about halfway into that program and came across sort of an economic development 101 course within their School of Urban and Regional Studies. And I was hooked. The idea that I could have an impact on a place and the quality of life for its people and, you know, have an exciting career and make a living doing that was pretty powerful. So that semester, I did something I thought would never be in the cards for me, which was I got a 4.0 and made the dean's list at VCU. And that little taste of success and accomplishment combined with, you know, this newfound passion and this field I wanted to learn more about was all I needed to change completely. I was an A student from then on. I received acceptance letters from UVA and JMU for my master's and eventually accepted a full ride to JMU's public administration program where I specialized in economic development and maintained exceptional grades there. So it just happened to click for me. And I wanted to know everything there was about economic development still at that point and kind of sought out everyone who seemed to be doing it. I interned at a Main Street community development organization. I got a part-time job at the local planning district commission. Because of JMU, I ended up being a graduate assistant at a regional economic development organization and a regional airport authority and was eventually kind of taken under the wings of some pretty exceptional community leaders in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia and just folks that were passionate about economic development and eager to grow me professionally. Those are now pretty good friends and I owe them a lot.
I think that's such a cool story. And just on a personal note, I can really find myself in your story because I was very, very similar. I took college degree is a 4-year degree. I turned it into 8 years before I graduated college. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So to hear you be so honest and upfront about that, you know, you were saying that you weren't a great student. You were a bit blasé about your education and all of those things. I think that's really awesome that you're sharing, you know, where you came from, who you were, And that's still part of you, but you know now why you were that way and you took it and you knew that you needed something to be really passionate about, which is one of the reasons I love the work that we do, because it's so important. So you very briefly mentioned mentors. So I want to dive a little bit deeper because I want to know how this experience of really finding that passion, how did that shape you as a person and a professional? And also, what was the role of those mentors in changing your mindset for you?
Yeah, I think for me, I value life experience kind of above all else, and certainly most aspects of education. I think traditional education is extremely important, but only with enough perspective to appreciate it, which I think was the gap for me. I think really good mentors open doors, but don't necessarily tell you how and when to walk through them. I remember my best mentors being extremely cautious as to how they shaped my thoughts on the career itself. They seemed to focus more on simply kind of exposing me to everything they could and allowing me to sort of just be a sponge without tainting or placing any bias kind of on those views and experiences. And economic development is a very particular blend of skills that can't be learned in the absence of, you know, hands-on experience. So, which is why I think mentors are so important. And you can tell I'm passionate about this kind of mentor-mentee relationship because it's really carried with me. Not only are those folks still colleagues and really good friends, but they still look out for me. And as someone now working with and in some instances managing younger professionals, I try my best not to bring my cynicism to those conversations. I think back to that first day as a full-time economic developer in an assistant director position in local economic development and remember just the anxiety-provoking learning curve in front of me. And my boss at that time, who was a veteran economic developer, extremely accomplished, who for some reason hired me over a pool of more qualified candidates, made it his daily job to make me feel successful and to put me in the center of things. And I'm certainly still learning, but I am really eager to pay forward just the numerous acts of kindness and opportunity bestowed upon me early on in my career by a handful of really key folks.
So I'm going to spring a question on you that I did not provide for you in advance. But
spring away.
I would love to know, you know, you do have a team, but are you mentoring anyone in kind of like that more official sense other than the team that you have?
I have an opportunity to work with some younger colleagues, and I have one particular on my team who is brand new to economic development with really no, you know, lens in which to look through except for what she's experiencing now. And she's in her fourth or fifth month. That has taken me back to kind of my early days and brought up a lot of these feelings, I think. And she's got the wits and the personality to be extremely successful. And it's going to be really fun to watch her learn all of these things.
I love that. Okay. So kind of switching gears just a little bit, but you have worked at the local level, the regional level. Now you are at the Virginia Economic Development Partnership. So at the state level. And in your role with the state of Virginia, you focus mostly on lead generation and attraction of new project opportunities. So how does the skill set differ between those things, especially between now and maybe working at that local and regional level? And I really want to know what your favorite part is of your current role.
Okay. Yeah, good question. So let me first give a shout out to all of the local and regional economic development professionals with, you know, very small and potentially kind of one person circus type operations, because those are the most hardworking, dynamic individuals out there.
I 100% agree. So kudos. I'm echoing all of that.
But a lot of these skills are very similar. So there's a lot of things that are transferable. I think one of the biggest differentiators between state and regional and local economic development is kind of just scale, right? So a lot of the state EDOs are larger. I'm working for 100 plus person. I'm pretty sure approaching 150 person agency. And that allows me and others on my team to focus and kind of specialize on certain competencies within economic development, which again is a really broad blend of skills. So in my role, my efforts kind of are ensuring that there's new opportunities entering the top of the sales funnel, if you will. So constantly putting myself in client-facing positions with prospects of all kinds. And this really affords me an extremely diverse and kind of consistently evolving set of tasks and experiences with clients. And even in previous roles, this is where my passion was. And I think why it led me to VEDP, kind of the intersection of research and relationships and, you know, in sales and lead gen, just grit and follow up. So to your second part, hands down, my favorite part of my current role is interacting with my colleagues at VEDP and the brilliant minds that we have here. After nearly 3 years at the state, I am still constantly amazed at the talent that we have on staff and the things that we're able to accomplish as an organization. And I know a lot of orgs can say this over the pandemic, but what we've done over the last year plus however many months is just incredible. I look at our talent solutions team, which is doing just cutting edge, innovative work on the recruitment and training side. I look at the quality of our proposals from our marketing division, and I'm really proud, you know, just to be an employee of the EDP. I look at, you know, the way that we just come together and mesh as a team, and that's the most fun part. In some instances, you don't get that in smaller organizations. So interacting with my colleagues, although it's been tough, you know, in a virtual environment, is absolutely my favorite part. And I'll also add one thing that makes me a little bit nervous about this kind of attention for a podcast or an interview of this nature is that economic development is such a team effort that I'd be remiss if I didn't say that working for BEDP, arguably one of the most competitive economic development agencies in the country, has provided me a platform to be in this incredibly awesome client-facing role and to have all of these exceptional opportunities.
One, I really appreciate your mindset around your gratitude and your appreciation of your team. Two, I love hearing how collaboration-oriented you are. And I think you're totally right. You know, great economic developers are, when you were talking about those local, especially at the local level, those one or two person shops, they still have people behind them that make them great and that make them stand out. So I think it's really awesome that you're recognizing your team, but also don't discount yourself because you are a really, really dynamite person doing really awesome work.
I
want to dive a little bit deeper on, you're not early in your career, but you are a younger type professional and you have made some key changes throughout your career. So what was kind of your thought process and how did you know it was time to move on to the next job? And really what I'm looking for is some advice for emerging leaders. You can never truly plan your career, but as they're trying to kind of plan out their strategic plan for their career path.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, I know that I'm young, but, and you can relate with a three-year-old. Sometimes you don't really feel it. And over the pandemic, I think I bought my first recliner. So I think that puts me in a...
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I also graduated in 2003. So you and I are the same age. So
okay, awesome. You know where we are then.
So
yeah, I'm not sure I've done anything particularly novel when making decisions on career changes. I'll say I consistently lean on my network and mentors to help me make those kinds of decisions. I try to gather perspectives from trusted professionals inside my network and when I can outside of my network to make informed decisions. I actually, a year ago, wrote just a short kind of blog on our State Professional Association, LinkedIn, and it was titled Lessons Learned as a Young Professional, Pick Your Boss, Not Your Job, and Why This Holds True in Economic Development. And I feel strongly about that because in every job change I've contemplated or made, I've compared my, you know, would-be boss to my first, and wondered if that person, along with maybe others up the chain of command or surrounding that person, would provide me similar opportunities for personal and professional growth. And the strategy of selecting your boss, not your job, is not new. I mean, it likely has merit in most careers, you know, one could pursue. But in economic development in particular, I believe it to be exceptionally relevant. Our work is not just, you know, incredibly important. It's at times highly visible and nerve-wracking and extremely competitive. And like other sort of niche professions under those conditions, it can be a breeding ground for, you know, inflated egos and figureheads and credit seekers. But there are so many wonderful people in this noble profession, and especially in the US and in Virginia. My advice to young professionals would be to seek those people out and make sure that you're working for someone that is going to allow you to grow and have those opportunities.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard advice like that before. And I think that's really huge. And it's really relevant because you're right. Just like people leave their manager, not really their job. That is such an excellent way to flip that on its head and look for that next opportunity under the person that you want
right.
to learn from. I love that. Okay. So I've heard throughout the time that we've been chatting, you're very humble. You love collaboration. You're really good at meeting people where they're at is what I'm starting to gather. And in terms of like, you are really good at relating it back and like not forgetting where you came from or what brought you into the industry. So these are the things that I'm picking up on, but I want to know what you think your strongest character trait is and how does that play into your leadership and your professional life?
Okay. Yeah. We'll skip all the faults.
Everybody, you know, nobody wants to talk about that.
Okay. I'd be happy to air my laundry another time. I tend to thrive in a certain amount of uncertainty and perform a little better under pressure. And I'll relate that all the way back to schooling. I did better when I took 18 credits than when I took 12 credits. And that's always been me. I'm better at multitasking than I am at, you know, handling one thing at a time. And that's maybe just my attention span. But I'm at my best when I'm bowling with the guardrails down, I think. And if economic development has done anything for me, it's consistently throwing me into situations where I'm somewhat out of my comfort zone. And this has kept my interest in the field. This is where I find success. I learn and appreciate to be adaptive. And for those that enjoy it, I like to pay the same opportunities forward because I think it's the best way to learn. It's really the best way to learn.
I think that's awesome. I love what you just said, that you are at your best when you're bowling with the guardrails down. So I can't think of a better quote to end this podcast on. Cortland, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a joy. It's been super fun talking to you and learning from you. Thank you for making time to chat with me and congratulations on being that award winner. I look forward to seeing you hopefully in December.
Thank you, Faye. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.